Hi, everybody. Welcome. It's time to start.
Hi.
Hello. Welcome to the Our Experience Benefits Others service workshop. Let's go ahead and begin with the Serenity Prayer. Together. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thank you. Would someone please read the anonymity statement for us? Thank you.
I'm Sue, compulsive eater.
Hi, Sue.
Anonymity statement. Anonymity, like our abstinence, is a treasured possession. We ask the help of our guests, especially those representing the press or broadcast media, in protecting the anonymity of all members present or mentioned here today. We hope you hear something at this meeting which you can take away and use. We respectfully request, however, that you eliminate any mention of names in reference to members of Overeaters Anonymous and that no unauthorized photos be taken. This session is being taped and will not be edited. To be anonymous, you should use a fictitious name. If you come to the microphone to speak at any time during the weekend in a session that is being recorded, please sign a release form located at the registration table. Two Hatters, OA members affiliated with a related facility or other anonymous programs, are requested to speak only to their own personal recovery as an OA member at OA functions to avoid implying endorsement of an outside enterprise. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Would someone care to read the crosstalk statement for us, please?
Feedback, crosstalk, and advice giving are discouraged here. Crosstalk during an OA meeting is giving advice to others who have already shared, speaking directly to another person rather than to the group, and questioning or interrupting the person speaking or sharing at the time.
Thank you. And our unity with diversity statement.
I'm Unity with diversity. As we extend the heart and hand of fellowship to those who still suffer, let us be mindful of OA's unity and diversity policy, which respects our differences yet unites us in the solution to our common problem. Whatever problem you may have with food, you are welcome at this meeting. Are there any compulsive eaters here besides myself?
Welcome, everybody. My name is Andrea. I'm a grateful recovering compulsive overeater.
Hi
everybody. I'm from Colorado Springs and been in program since August 1st of 1994 and been abstinent since May of 97. Maintaining higher power has been maintaining for me about an 80-pound weight loss for those years. Thank you. I do have a before picture, which I'll go ahead and send around. That's from May of 97. Right before my abstinence began. I just wanted to share briefly my story and then switch over to the importance of service and how that's changed my life. I remember being a compulsive overeater from the age of two. You know, I remember some behaviors, hiding food, getting up in the middle of the night to get food as a little kid, you know, and then I remember the guilt associated with that as well. Making sure I didn't want anybody to find out about it. I didn't want my parents to know that I had, you know, gone to the cupboard and, you know, I hid the wrappers and all of that. And as a 2 or 3 year old, I remember thinking, you know, the shame of that and the guilt. And I don't think normal kids worry about that. You know, I think they eat when they're hungry and they stop when they're full. So I knew early on that I was not a normal eater. It continued on through my elementary days. I was in fifth grade at a weight of 160 pounds, and I remember having to get weighed at school and measured, and the nurse wrote my weight on this little note card, and behind it she wrote the word obese, you know, and at that time I didn't know what it meant, but I didn't think it was good, you know, because I knew I was very heavy, but food was the greatest comfort I had at that time. There was a lot of turmoil, my parents arguing all the time, and just some disruption in the home, and so food was always there for me. It was easy. My mom provided it. You know, she was my pusher, you know. So I always had it available for me whenever I needed it, and I needed it a lot just to get through my day-to-day life in the home. As I got a little bit older, things got a little better, you know, getting into high school, getting involved with activities and studying. I was always a good student, so I started to channel my energies towards that. And the food took a back seat, but it didn't go away. You know, I feel like if we're truly compulsive overeaters, the disease is always with us. Sometimes it's more active, other times, you know, less active. And that's before program. You know, before program, after program, I believe it's, you know, it's definitely managed with what we do in our program. But anyway, so I had started to raise a family, had my two daughters. When I had my second daughter, I gained 60 pounds with that pregnancy. And I had her, I was in the throes of my disease, just eating like crazy, you know, gaining way too much weight. And then I had her, and the next 3 months I gained another 20 pounds after she was born. Okay, so I was just piling on the weight, and luckily my husband at the time 12-stepped me. He was a recovering alcoholic for many years, and he said, you know, there's a program for overeaters. And gently, you know, he 12-stepped me into these rooms. And I'm forever grateful for that, you know, because that's when I came to OA then, in 1994. And I was kind of a slow learner. I came to meetings, and I feel like I don't regret a moment of being in the rooms, but it took me 2.5 years to get my abstinence. And I continued to gain weight during that time. And, you know, I look back on it now, and it's just what needed to happen in my journey. You know, it wasn't an easy path, and, you know, I don't recommend it, unless that's where your higher power is taking you, but I learned so much. You know, there's some people in this room right now that were there in the beginning when I started program. And I learned from them. You know, they shared from the heart at their meetings, and they told their experience. You know, the title of our workshop is How Our Experience Benefits Others. And it's everybody sharing your experience wherever you're at, wherever we're at in our own individual journey, sharing that and being honest about it and saying, this is where I'm at. This is maybe where I was yesterday, but look where I am today. Gives us the hope and the promise of something better coming down the pike. And so I continued to come to meetings even though I was still gaining weight because I saw what people had. And it was what I wanted for myself at some point. And so that's what kept me coming back. The other big thing that got me to keep coming to the rooms is in my first meeting, the first month into program, one of our meetings announced that they needed an intergroup rep. And I said, well, what's that? You know, and so they told me a little bit about what that meant, what that involved. And I said, okay, well, I'll go to the meeting to find out what that's like. And so at the time, Intergroup was meeting at 1515 North Cascade down here in Colorado Springs. And they have this big old, it's a huge church, and they have this big old front porch outdoors. And the whole porch was filled with people wanting to come to this Intergroup meeting to see about giving service. I thought, wow, this is a group of people that are really, you know, into program, and they want to give back and help. And I'm like, yes, I want to be involved in that. It was so, the energy grabbed me. The energy of so many people loving this program and wanting to give back. I thought, okay, and again, I've only been in program a month, you know, but I saw what I wanted, again, with these people giving service and having the joy with giving service. So I went to the meeting. You know, I said, okay, you know, I can do this job. It's pretty easy. I just have to go once a month and then report back, and no problem, you know. And at the time, I didn't realize it, but you know, I was still eating at that time, but it kept me coming back. I had that commitment that, well, I'm the type of person, if I've made a commitment, I'm going to follow through with it. And so I knew, you know, I was embarrassed and humiliated because I, you know, my body was growing, but I still kept with that commitment. And I, to this day still, you know, 21 years later, believe that's what saved my life. You know, it somehow higher power led me to the point where I could push through. I had the love and support of everybody in the rooms, and that was just enough to get me to that first day of abstinence. Of course, working the steps along the way, eventually getting a sponsor, but it was when I took the third step that for me was my turning point. When I fully took the third step, had that surrender, the complete surrender and turning over my will and my life to higher power, that's when my abstinence began. So service in combination with the steps is what has kept me in this program and kept recovery going for me. One thing has led to another as far as service goes, because I started out then as the group rep and then took another position on intergroup. I can't remember, you know, had several over the years. But then the position of group rep / delegate came up. And somebody said, you know, you ought to try that. That would be good. They knew I like to travel. And, you know, I was able to get away from my teaching job for a couple days here and there to fulfill that requirement. So I thought, okay, you know, I'll go to the meeting and I'll put my name in the hat. So I was elected as a rep late 90s. This was 98 or 99, something like that. So I started to go to the region rep things, and then one thing led to another, and somebody at region says, you should run for the board. Wanda knows, because she's been in that same, you know, path of, you know, somebody saying, and you know, in OA, if somebody says, why don't you think about doing so-and-so, or, you know, you'd be good at this service job, it's almost like it's a message from your higher power, you know, and we're kind of in tune. Our intuition tells us, okay, we need to listen, you know, if that's a message, something we should act upon. So I ran and was on the region board and just finished 8 years last March on the region board as chair and vice chair. And one thing led to another, and next Saturday I'm getting on a plane to go to Australia for the region chairs meeting. How did that happen? You know, I don't know how it happened, other than a month into program, I thought, okay, I'll go to this meeting as a group rep. You know, and the rest is just, it's been God's path, and I've just done the footwork, you know, to get there. And boy, has it been a beautiful journey along the way, because I've met so many fantastic people all over our region and all over the world, you know, and had the opportunity to see how our OA program works all everywhere. You know, we have this common disease. We all have these similarities, and somebody in Colombia, South America can relate to us, you know, getting up in the middle of the night and stuffing our faces, or driving, you know, wherever. In England, somebody will get in their car in the middle of the night and go find a 24-hour place to go get some food. You know, we have these commonalities where we can relate to each other wherever we are. And I think that's just an amazing, amazing thing. You know, we're definitely not alone. You know, we have each other. We have the tools of this program. We have the steps. You know, to me, the steps, of course, are my main framework. That I do a step every, you know, I'm always constantly working a step. You know, I've done all 12. We don't ever graduate. You know, we always go back, and, you know, when God reveals something more to us, then we take action on that particular step. Or, you know, we call our sponsor, we use the tools, all of those things. That is the meat of the program. But service is just a beautiful, you know, they go hand in hand. Working your part of the program and then giving service and helping others, it just makes it all fit together so beautifully. And it really, higher power gives us what we need, you know, by doing those things together. I have a handout which I'll give in just a few minutes, but I wanted everybody to take a minute and think about your own service, the level of service that you're at in your program. And think about that for a minute and see if you can come up with something that would take you just maybe that next little step higher. You know, if you're putting out chairs at meetings, what would be one little step further that you'd be willing to commit to? You know, if you're a region rep, what would be something else, you know, that can go along with that, or take you just a little bit step further? So I want everybody to close their eyes for just a minute. We'll think on that for a minute. We'll share on that in just a few minutes at the second half of our workshop. But I just wanted, while we're at that point, to get you thinking about that. And then I wanted to share just briefly in closing my part of the share. I wanted to let you know some of the things that have changed in my life as a result of working this OA program and giving service. I already mentioned that I've had the chance to meet people all over the world that share our common disease, and to help, you know, bring back to my area and to other areas, you know, things that I've learned. It's also just helped me to find my peace and serenity. You know, I've given up the control of always, you know, thinking I had to know the next step every day and be able to chart my own path. You know, just letting higher power be in charge of that, you know, has made a huge difference. The surrender. Freedom has come up quite a bit, you know, at different conventions and today as well. But having so many freedoms now that I didn't have before, you know, just the freedom to sit on the, I teach kindergarten, so I'm constantly sitting on the floor with the kids. You know, if I were still 240 pounds, I couldn't be up and down all the time. You know, just simple things like that that this program has given me that wouldn't be possible without all of you and the fellowship. I just used to be a selfish, self-centered person where I didn't care if I helped anybody. You know, I was all out for me, you know, and looking out for number one. And now my mind has totally gone the opposite direction. You know, now I look for ways to be of service wherever I'm at, not just in OA, but, you know, anywhere out in the world. If there's somebody that needs help with something, I'm in tune to that now. And I used to have blinders on. You know, I used to not notice my fellow human beings and their needs. And then the biggest thing, I think, is just living in gratitude. There's not a day that goes by, sometimes even an hour that goes by, that I don't feel grateful for something in my life. You know, the sun's shining now. You know, it was foggy. I love the fog, too, but now the sun is shining, you know, and it's a beautiful day. And, you know, whatever there is to be grateful for, the smile of one of my students, you know, and my kids know I love Olaf from the Frozen movies. And they have been bringing me, like, one girl brought me a talking Olaf the other day, and then another boy brought me an Olaf cup, you know. Or one day I said, oh, I have to run and get to the store after school and get some eggs. The next day, I live out, the kids are out in the country, the 24 eggs get, you know, they bring me 24 eggs, two different kids, you know. Just, it just fills my heart with so much love and gratitude that I can't even describe it. And in the past, I would have been shut down to that. You know, it wouldn't have made a difference to me. You know, the love of a small child or just anything out there. I would have not seen it. It would have gone way over my head. You know, so just so grateful to be in the moment, you know, and being able to experience all of that. I want to, and I also have some things that I have less of now. You know, I don't feel anger hardly at all anymore. I know now what to do. Turn it over to my higher power. Ask him for help. Ask him for help to take the resentments away, take the anger away, and just help me to feel peace. And he does it. He does it if I ask. You know, I just have to remember to ask. There's some days where I forget. You know, I'm in a rush, and I'm got to get out the door, and then I'll wonder why things aren't going the greatest, you know, and I'll realize, oh, wait a minute, I have to start my day over. You know, I forgot to make that conscious contact with higher power. So less anger, less resentments, less stress. You know, I do exercise every day, so that helps with the stress, but things don't get to me anymore. You know, they used to just wreak havoc in my mind, and I'd be so, you know, just that tension, and that doesn't happen anymore, you know, because now higher power just takes it. You know, and so I'm going to stop there. I know there's so many more things to share that of the beauty of our program, but I wanted to open it up now for all of you. If you would like to share what I asked earlier, how you're feeling about the service level that you're at, and if there's a commitment, something that you'd like to change or increase. I also have a handout I'm going to go ahead and pass out. One side is called the ABCs and DEFs of service. There's some thought-provoking questions there as well. And then on the back, there are just some examples of different service positions, things that we all do for service at different levels. Okay, so I do have enough for everybody, so go ahead, help yourselves. And then, if you'd like to share, I'll bring the mic over to you. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Barb. I am a compulsive overeater, and I've been in program 26 years, so...
Hi, Barb.
Needless to say, I've done service off and on. The meeting level, as well as intergroup, I have attended a world convention one time in Dallas where Roseanne was there, and that was a real blessing to hear her. But at one time I was doing a group service of making sure the literature was there, but I was also in relapse at the same time, and I am a first child, so I'm responsible, And I went to the meetings to make sure the literature was out and replenished, but I never spoke, I never shared for those months that I was in relapse. And I can't say enough about keep coming back, because we hear things that we don't expect to hear. And sometimes my higher power uses other people to bring messages to me. So I'm just getting ready now to retire from Intergroup with our elections this month locally. And I've been doing literature for the Intergroup for a couple of years now, and it's time to recycle service. We need to not think we are the only ones that can handle something and give somebody else a chance. So I can't say enough for service. It has served me well. But I do know too that some people are just that way. They are joiners, they're doers, and there are some people that maybe are suffering with a little bit of low self-esteem, and they seem to think, what can I offer? But trust me, everyone can offer something, and we grow as a result of it. So try it, you'll like it. Thanks.
Thanks, Barb.
Thanks, Barb.
I'm Lainey, compulsive overeater. I started sponsoring on my 44th day of program, and I was sponsoring by email, and I shot the email away. So I got an email saying, would you sponsor me? And I kind of went, what? And I asked my sponsor, and she said, go for it. So I shot an email back and said, sure, let's talk. And I really expected to go through the, oh my gosh, I don't know anything, I'm a newbie myself, what do I possibly have to offer, blah, 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 blah. And I was quite shocked when my very first thought after I pushed send was, oh crap, now I can't quit. And so, you know, that's the reason to do service, is because it keeps me coming back. So thanks.
Thanks.
That person's long gone. I'm still here.
Hey, Andrea. I'm Sue.
Hi, Sue.
Hi, Sue.
I know when I first got in the program in 2009, because I was so precocious and knew it all, I kept saying, they need to rewrite that format of that meeting. I mean, we waste way too much time talking and getting the meeting started. You know, there's not enough time for us to share in the meeting. Is this a newcomer meeting? You know, I had all these ideas on how we could, you know, change things. And then I wanted to jump on the convention. Oh, I'm gonna do something at the convention. And my sponsor lovingly just said, you know what? Your first year, I want you to experience. I don't want you to do any of that kind of service. You know, you can, you know, chair meeting, or you know, and prep the rooms and stuff. But I don't want you doing any of that stuff, because she knew I was a know-it-all, and she knew that I wasn't going to learn what I needed to learn that first year. I needed to get through the steps, at least, you know, at least the fourth and fifth, so I could really see, you know, my part in so much of my stuff. So that was how it started, and I, you know, so I did lead meetings, and I did chair, I did the group. And then I started doing, you know, secretary of the meeting, just the little. And then the intergroup started, and then I started, getting workshops together. And then I did the convention chairing. And what I learned, and I was so grateful that my sponsor had me wait for these, as you say, we grow in our experience, we grow in our leadership, we grow in our experience and sharing, that had I chaired a convention my first year, I would have been so angry. I would have been so resentful. I would have made everybody's life miserable. But at the time that I did it, like 3 years in or 4 years in, whatever it was, I knew how to stand up in front of a group and collaborate and to allow people, because I learned that I don't have the best ideas all the time. But what I would, because I've been hearing in the rooms, people share their experience, strength, and hope. And I would get these great ideas on what I can do for my spiritual recovery, what I can do for whatever was going on, for life's problems. So I guess I really want to encourage, you know, I encourage my sponsees to do service. And of course, service can be sharing in a meeting, you know, not everybody's meant to be a sponsor, not everybody feels comfortable chairing, whatever. as well shared. Some people are naturally that way. But for me, sometimes, because I might be naturally that way, my service is to sit down and shut up and listen, you know, and be available to guide. So it's a finding a balance for me, and I have stepped up my service to, you know, different levels. So I'm glad to hear your share and your experience with that, Andrea.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sue. Hi, my name is Annie. I'm a compulsive overeater and bulimic.
Hi, Annie.
And my story sounds a lot like yours. I came into OA in 2011, and it was in April. And in June, at my second home meeting, I kind of have two. And at my second home meeting, they did rotation of service in June, and they needed an intergroup rep. And I thought, you know, I'd been reading over the descriptions for the service positions, that I thought, I can go to a meeting once a month, no big deal, you know? So I joined the intergroup, and then in September, the intergroup had their board elections, and when it was time for the recording secretary position, it was like silent in the room. Nobody wanted that job, and I'm like, I can do that. So I thought, well, I don't really meet the requirements because I haven't even been in program long enough to be absent for 6 months, but they said go ahead and give it a try. And so you know, it's just kind of morphed from that, and I'm the current chair of the CCI intergroup, and I love it, and it is just a really great fit for me. I thought about becoming a region rep, but I got a little bit of feedback that it may not be a good time to do that from my husband, who's like, where have you been? You know, who are you? Who's this woman who belongs here in this house sometimes? But one of the things that I was able to do last year was to chair the Colorado State Convention, and it was really a good experience for me. And just a couple of months ago, I had a request to think about doing a region assembly when the CCI group does the Colorado Convention in 2017. So. If that, and I hear that's still an open, that nobody has claimed that spot yet, so we'll have to see if that's something that HP is now guiding me to do, but that might be the next step, which I would absolutely love, because it's one of those things where it's such a, you know, when you're doing service, that's a good fit for you. It's like it's not even a job, it's just so easy, and that's how it feels, a lot of times for me, and I'm so grateful for that, because I love it when it's easy. So thanks.
Thanks, Annie.
Thanks, Annie.
Hi, I'm Wanda. I'm recovering from compulsive overeating.
Hi, Wanda.
Hi, y'all. And I live in Abilene, and I'll help to start the first intergroup, the only intergroup in that area. And immediately took a position, you know, with that intergroup, because there was enough of us to get it started, but that's about it. So that intergroup has been going, you know, for many years, since about 1988, I think. But anyway, when I first went to region, I went as an alternate, and I just sat and listened and watched. But I got hooked, because it looked like they were having fun, for one thing, and it also seemed like they really cared about what went on in my little group in Abilene. So I got really hooked on service, and I kind of consider myself a service junkie, I guess, because whenever something would open up and somebody would say, why don't you do that, I checked it out. And so from region, you know, I served as long as I could. I think it's 4 years that as a region rep, and then one time we needed someone to run for trustee, and Andrea and Francine came and talked to me, and so, you know, I stood up and just said, here I am if you want me. So service has taken me is just beyond my wildest dreams, really. For one thing, it's helped me to learn how to speak in public, and to learn how to run a meeting, and I think one of the best things about service at any level, and especially as we get on into the other levels of service, is the people that we meet, because the people that we meet are committed, and some of them have longer abstinence than I do, and it's like when you get in that environment, it just ups the level. So right now I'm kind of like retired from a lot of service, but I do still do some service on the intergroup. And the next Region 3 Assembly and Convention will be in Abilene, Texas, and so we are working on that, so I'm involved in that. One of my very favorite things to do in any form of service is to work on the program and help choose people to speak, because it's like I know a lot of people in Region, and I just love being able to say, you know, we need to get this person or that person, and it's really neat. And also being able to have friends all over the world. And, you know, I feel like I do. I have friends all over the world who are committed to OA, who are committed to abstinence and to work in their program. And, you know, where else could I find that? And I just love that part in the big book, which says that we are people who normally would not meet. We wouldn't have any way to meet. But we're like people on a sinking ship, because we have a common problem and a common solution. So I'm really grateful for what service has done in my life and helped me with my own personal growth, because that's where I am today, is feeling that personal growth that comes from serving others. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you.
We still have time for about three more.
Hi, I'm Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
I'm from Houston. And I've been in OA since, I think it's 2011. And, you know, when I first started in OA, the first thing I did after I had gotten a sponsor and I started working the steps and stuff, I then was encouraged by my sponsor to think about chairing a meeting for the month, because we do it month by month, and I did that, and that was kind of a big deal. And then I did some other things. I was a leader, and then I also now I'm a literature chairperson. But people have been talking a lot about doing something beyond just the meeting, and so I'm sort of contemplating maybe doing something like that, because you're not the first person I've talked to about this, and they seem to really get a lot out of it, you know. As well as being of real service, they really do benefit a lot. So anyway, thank you for letting me share.
Thank you.
I'm Lori, grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Lori.
Let's see, how do I put this? When I first started over 20 years ago, I lived in Los Angeles, and at one of my first meetings, the intergroup person, well, it was time for her to give her report, and I thought, intergroup, what's that? And she was just so bubbly and excited, and you know, really loved her job, and so I said, can I do that? And they're like, no, you just started. You shouldn't do that. So I got to do things like put the chairs out or get coffee or whatever. But over the years, I've done all kinds of different service, different levels, and I've been able to go to World Service, I think, three times. And it was absolutely wonderful. I've always thought I would love to go and be a page, and, you know, not being a delegate voting person, but to just run around and help people. So someday I'm going to do that. But in the meantime, for the past probably 2 years, I have done hardly any service. Just my life has been really busy, and I felt like I was over involved, and I needed a break. And so I did that. And so I'm starting to hear these little thoughts of, you know, you need to get back in there and do stuff. And just earlier this morning, someone asked if I was going to help with doing the convention for Northern Colorado next year, and I terror just went through my brain. And so I said, I didn't say yes and I didn't say no. I said I would pray about it. And so, yeah, I feel like if I am meant to do that, I will, my higher power will keep nudging me, and I'm going to pray for willingness if I'm supposed to. But on the other hand, like I said, life is very crazy at the moment, so if I'm not supposed to, if I'm supposed to let someone else do it, then maybe that's the answer too. So anyway, yeah, that's my story.
Thanks, Lori.
Thanks, Lori. Thanks, Lori.
Thank you, Andrea. My name's Joanne. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Joanne.
And I just want to share two things. I have done service at the intergroup level and at region level and at world service. And one of the most incredible things that happened to me the first time I went to world service was I could not stop crying. And it wasn't a sobbing kind of cry. It was to be in a room with, at that time, about 300 people from around the world and have a contentious issue on whether it was the definition of abstinence or something. I mean, it was a contentious issue. And hear the Serenity Prayer said, and then 300 people who were at the microphones before with the pro and the con and tension, it just all melted away, and we did what was right for the good of OA. And it was so overwhelming to me that I thought, if this is what recovery is, I am never leaving it. Never, never, never. So wherever that fits into your heart. And then with regard to the question, I don't know how to answer it honestly without really embarrassing myself, but that won't be the first time. I'm really stymied as to what do I do next. I have certain limitations on my family life, which I have to be very realistic about that. And one of the things that recovery has done is given me an insight as to what my real skill set is. And I'm very comfortable with what I am and who I am and what I'm not. And I think I've reached that level where I'm maxed out at my capabilities. And it isn't that I'm not trusting my higher power. It's none of that. It's just, I'm 70. The brain doesn't work the way it used to work quite, I think. I'm tired a little bit. And I don't want to get burned out. And I've actually gotten burned out on service for the last couple years. And so I don't know, I'm really open to where my higher power takes me. And luckily, I know to do what I'm doing in the moment, you know, and just be so very grateful for all the gifts the program has given me. And higher power will show me what my next step is to do. But if you can give yourself the gift of world service, it is the most phenomenal thing in the whole world. Thank you.
Thanks, Joanne.
I'm Andrea, compulsive overeater.
Hey.
Hi. I just forgot to mention earlier that service is a true gift. You know, it's a gift that we give to others in program, but it's also a gift to ourselves. You know, so it's a two-way, win-win situation. And then also sponsorship. I wanted to specifically mention sponsorship. Without sponsors in our program, you know, our recovery wouldn't be nearly as strong as it is. And so being a sponsor and having sponsees, as well as having a sponsor yourself, is a great service that everybody can give to this program and to the strength of our program and to continue our fellowship as it is. So, all right, if there are no other burning desires, we'll go ahead and close our meeting. Anybody else? We have time for one more.
I just wanted to say something about encouraging others to do service is a service in itself, and that's where I am today, really, after my years of service and knowing what the benefits of it. Part of what I'd like to do in my home group is encourage others to do service, and to me that is a true service is in the encouragement part, and that's where I see myself right now. So.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Hi, I'm Boo, and I'm a compulsive overeater. Anyways, I guess what I was thinking is that you don't, you know, when you're looking for God's will, what does God want me to do? You know, there's nothing wrong with I think, experimentation. I call it rowing the boat. You know, God can't, you know, a boat that isn't being rowed can't be given a direction. If it's just sitting still in the water, you can't direct it anywhere. And so you could just try different things. And you'll find, I think if you try different things, you can find what God's will is. And then that can be very, very exciting. So I think just go out there and try a bunch of different stuff. And you'll find what your place is and what really you feel the best about contributing. So that's what I wanted to share.
Thanks, Boo.
Thank you. I'm Lainey, compulsive overeater. I just wanted to point out something, because we can get trapped by language. Higher doesn't mean better. Maybe the service that we're being called to, or you're being called to, or I'm being called to, is wider or deeper or over there, not over here. It doesn't necessarily have to, you know, if I'm at this level, then I have to move to the next level to do what I... That's not the game plan. It's where, as Boo was saying, where am I being called to do right now, right here? And so I think that, you know, there can be a trap to say, well, I've never done, you know, intergroup, so my service is less than the intergroup people. And that's just not it. It's what... We're here for a reason. We're here for a purpose. We all have something that we can do that's service. It doesn't, you know, being a sponsor, being a sponsee, sharing, listening, that's all a service. And when we start to realize that service is valuable to ourselves and to others, then we're doing service. So that's all. Thanks.
Thanks. All right, we'll go ahead and close with, I put my hand in yours. After a moment of silence for those still suffering. Together, I put my hand in yours, and together we can do what we could never do alone. No longer is there a sense of hopelessness. No longer must we each depend upon our own unsteady willpower. We are all together now, reaching out our hands for power and strength greater than ours. And as we join hands, we find love and understanding beyond our wildest dreams. Keep coming back. It works if you work it, and you're worth it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.